And you were listening to one of our favorite hymns. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God. And it was penned by Stephen P. Starkey, born in 1955 and a pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And in fact, this is part of a CD that you can get from Concordia Publishing House. It is just excellent. It's got a number of his hymns, one of the best hymn writers of our time. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God. It is, what's the Latin for this?
Te Deum Laudamus.
Very good, which means...
We praise you, O God.
Yes. I was going to say, but I was thinking of the Greek.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. In fact, that's one of my favorite hymns in the liturgy.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, I like the Te Deum, but you know, I don't know. We just haven't taken the opportunity to sing it because we don't do matins. We used to do matins. We don't do it anymore.
Yes, I'll tell you what I did when I was in the congregation. We had communion every Sunday.
Yes.
So you would think you want to use matins. But we did use matins about once a month. And then just before we got to the Lord's Supper, we would revert back to page 5 or 15 with a confession of sins. And because that's all that's really necessary,
right,
is the confession of sins, the absolution, then we moved right into the Lord's Supper. And that way we were able to do. And I'll tell you why I wanted to do that. I had a understanding that the members that were at my congregation could move out of state. And so I wanted them to be familiar,
right,
with the other liturgies. Some churches don't have communion every Sunday. And so they'll have matins or this sort of thing. And I wanted them to be familiar with it. But
there's a lot in that hymnal that we really don't take advantage of.
Yes,
you
know,
we get in our liturgical ruts and
yes. Well, that's why this particular item, the Te Deum, we praise you and acknowledge you, O God, by Starkey, isn't part of the liturgy. So are you busy these days?
Oh boy. I tell you, I was so glad to get an extra day off.
Really?
Yesterday. You know, that's
was that
one
a day
thing,
off?
You know, that's one thing about the ministry. That I wish somebody would have told me. Not that it would have changed my mind or anything, but you know, you don't get those three-day weekends that you remember those three-day weekends you used to look forward to as a student?
No.
You don't get those anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're working Sunday.
Exactly.
Although, do you consider it work?
Well, that's it. You know, what else would I do?
Yeah.
I mean...
No.
But it's still nice to get... A 2-day weekend or even a 3-day weekend.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yesterday was Memorial Day. Yeah. And today I'm right back. And I have 8 meetings today.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a long day.
No, I love it. It makes
you
it
love
really
meetings.
Short. Yeah. Well, I got the radio program. Then 11 o'clock, Emmanuel Lutheran. I'm doing the Bible study on prophecy. Then I meet with the pastor afterwards as he gives me some assignments. Then I go to another congregation and meet with the secretary where I'm doing the preaching next week and with the pastor who has taken a call. Then I got to get back home at 4:30 to do the Sunday school lesson for issues, etc.
Oh, man.
And then in the evening, I have 2 board meetings.
I thought you were at least semi-retired.
Oh, no, I'm totally retired. This is what's so wonderful about it. And the reason I'm so busy, I just know why. Because my wife prays that I'm busy every day. I'm not even going to see her all day today. She's so happy and goes on to Trader Joe's. And
spend your money. Or her money.
Her money, yes. Boy. Yeah, by the time I pay her back for all she gave me, she put me through the sem and everything.
Oh, boy.
Man, I mean, I owe her at least $6. Okay. Stanza 1.
We praise you and acknowledge you, O God, to be the Lord, the Father everlasting, by all the earth adored. To you all angel powers cry aloud, the heavens sing, the cherubim and seraphim their praises to you bring. O holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, your majesty and glory fill the heavens and the earth.
I did a...
It's hard to read that without singing it, you know?
Oh, I know. I did a thing for a congregation. I was saying, you know you're a Lutheran if, and then I had videos, for example, that when you go to church, you sit at the back. And what I had done at the end of a service some years ago, I asked the congregation to stay and everybody to go back in the last four rows. Everything in front was empty. So I showed that. But one of them I said is, you know you're a Lutheran when you think the word Sabaoth is spelled wrong.
Well, you know, nobody else uses the word Sabaoth.
Yeah, what does it mean?
It's the whole heavenly host.
Very good.
Of all angels.
Lord God of Sabaoth. That's right.
The entire heavenly garrison.
Yes. Now, we started off, by the way, this is really a biblically oriented hymn. A lot of it is from Revelation 7, Philippians 2, and Psalm 89, but you could put down about 30 Bible verses in talking about this hymn. It starts right off, we praise you and acknowledge you, O God, to be the Lord. And it starts with the Father everlasting, by all the earth adored. The cherubim and seraphim praises to you bring. What's cherubim and seraphim?
Those are particular ranks of angels. The cherubim.
Yes.
The cherubim were the angels that guarded the gates of Eden.
You see,
and yes.
I use this as an answer to a question. Somebody says, I understand we're going to have degrees of glory in heaven. And I said, yes, that's correct, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And then he says, can you explain that to me? And I say, I have no problem explaining to you if you can explain something to me. And they say, what do I have to explain? And I say, what's the difference between a cherubim and a seraphim?
A cherubim, those are plural.
Yes.
Cherubim and seraphim, those are plural angels.
That's right.
Right.
What's the difference?
You don't say cherubim or seraphim.
No, you can have if it was in a singular, wouldn't you still say?
No, you say cherub.
Oh, a cherub?
Or seraph.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I learned something today.
Oh.
That's the first time in 6 years.
No, it is rich in content, I'll tell you.
This
hymn is the Te Deum.
And we already talked about Sabaoth, your majesty and glory fill the heavens and the earth. Okay, stanza 2, I'll read. The band of the apostles in glory sing your praise. The fellowship of prophets their deathless voices raise. The martyrs of your kingdom, a great and noble throng, sing with the holy church throughout all the world this song. O all majestic Father, your true and only Son, and Holy Spirit, Comforter forever, three in one. Now, a lot of that comes out of my favorite chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 5.
Chapter 5, I remember that, yes.
That Jesus ascends into heaven.
Yes.
The Father's on the throne.
Right.
And Jesus approaches him. And John starts weeping because no one is able to open the scroll.
Right.
And the scroll is the destiny of humans. So if it's not open, we all die. And then John is told by one of the elders, behold, here's a lamb. And he appears as though he were slain.
Yes.
And, of course, who's that?
That's Jesus.
That's Jesus. So all the time on the ascension, that's one of my favorite texts to preach on. A lot of people don't realize.
That's the heavenly side of his ascension. You know, we always talk about the apostles looking up, but this is the heaven's high courtroom
when
he ascends.
And that one was the earthly side is how it is observed by human beings. He floats up into a cloud and disappears. The heavenly side is how kind of God looks at it and such. And therefore, it can be in what we call apocalyptic language.
Right.
Which is the first word in the book of Revelation. That's the Greek word for revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, there's a lot of metaphor. You see, the reality of heaven is such that there are no words in the English language to describe it. So everything about God and our relationship to him is done in metaphors.
Like the slain lamb.
The slain lamb, or Jesus is the light of the world, or he's the bread of life, or it's just almost everything. Paul did have a vision once of the heaven.
Yes, where he's lifted up to the third heaven.
And he says he couldn't find any words to describe it. And so a lot of the scripture is done in metaphorical language, except the history parts. It really was six 24-hour days. He really was on the cross for 6 hours. None of that is metaphorical. And the way you can tell is you look at the context. And the context will tell you whether something is metaphorical. The reason we know Jesus appeared as a slain lamb in heaven is metaphorical is because the disciples saw him go into heaven with a body. And so that's how he ascended before the throne. But there's just a lot of information here. Anything that you'd want to talk about stanza two?
It's just so rich in content. You are right.
Well, what are deathless voices of the prophets?
Well, their prophetic message goes on and on.
Yes. They die, their message never does.
No, that's right.
Yeah, the word of God continues
forever.
That's good. In fact, that's what your purpose is on Sunday morning.
To continue that message.
Yeah. In fact, you do to your congregation the same thing Nathan did to David.
Yes. Thou art the man.
Thou art the man. That's the law.
You bring them to their knees to the point where they need...
Well said.
They need a Savior as their only hope.
Yeah, I was in a Bible study, and people are just really complaining about sermons they hear, especially on evangelical radio, where there's a total lack of understanding of law and gospel. In fact, if you ask most Lutherans, what is the law in the Bible, they're going to say the Ten Commandments, which is wrong. That is the content of law, but it's not what we mean by law. What we mean by law is what you just said. The purpose of law, and law always occurs when you bring them...
to their knees.
Very good. That's a good way of putting it. Why to their knees? Because they recognize their sinful condition. In fact...
You want to bring them to the same point that the publican in the temple... where he was.
Yes.
Oh, God, be merciful to me, a poor, miserable sinner. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling.
In fact, I use the example of Peter for both the law and the gospel.
Yeah.
Remember the first time that they were out on a boat, he said, let down the net, and they caught all the fish. What did Peter do?
Depart from me, O Lord.
Yes.
I'm a sinful man.
Then after the resurrection, the same kind of event took place. And when John said to Peter, it is the Lord on the beach, what did Peter do?
He dove in.
Yes. And I make the distinction that in the first thing, he was living under the law. But in the second instance, he had heard the words of Jesus on that evening, the first evening of the peace be with you.
Yes.
And so therefore, the law drives us to our knees where we think we're unworthy to come into the presence of God. The gospel
brings us to Christ.
Brings us to Christ.
Is that the best way to say it? The gospel, the law drives us to our knees. The gospel.
Well, it depends what the text is.
Uh huh.
Like last week was the centurion. Yeah. And remember what the centurion said? He said, I'm not even coming out to you. I'm sending my servants because I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. So here was my question to the congregation. Put your hand up if you believe that you are worthy enough for Jesus to come to your house. Nobody put their hand up. And then the whole... In fact, I'm going to talk...
But he's worthy enough to enter us. make
in
us
the Lord's Supper.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
But they never know what they're going to get from Tom Baker.
No. In fact, that's what tomorrow's subject is about. How when Lutherans answer theological questions, they often commit idolatry.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that tomorrow. Stanza three.
What does this mean?
Yes.
Okay. All right, stanza three. You, Christ, are King of glory, the everlasting Son. Yet you, with boundless love, sought to rescue everyone. You laid aside your glory, were born of virgin's womb, were crucified for us, and were placed into a tomb. Then by your resurrection, you won for us reprieve. You opened heaven's kingdom to all who would believe. Yeah, just majestic language, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not just rich in content. It's just lofty. Majestically lofty.
Stephen Starkey has the ability to do that, and that's why we're so proud that he's not only a Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod pastor, but that Concordia Publishing House has put some of his hymns into our new hymnal. But right away, you, Christ, are King of Glory, and then it says you laid aside your glory. What does that mean? Obviously,
he's a state of humiliation.
Yeah, and what that means, of course, is that he lost his divine attributes, right?
No.
He
did not lose his divinity.
Yes.
He merely
did not use it. Yes.
That's a state of humiliation.
That was the correction you made on me 6 years ago.
Yes, I remember.
You remember because I...
One of few.
Yeah. But that's really interesting, the word glory... Jesus said that he couldn't do something because he had not yet entered into his glory. And there he was talking about the cross.
Uh-huh.
Because it was at the cross that he was most glorious.
Yes. So that's kind of ironic, isn't it? Speaks of the glory of his cross.
Yes. And
most of us don't think of that as glory.
No, we don't think of it as glorious, but we refer to it not as Bad Friday, but...
Right, Good Friday. Yeah, it's a good point.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Good Friday.
Good Friday.
The worst day in history.
Is actually our most precious day, our most important day.
Yes.
That and the resurrection.
Yes, yeah, because the resurrection seals the covenant that God made with us. Without the resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15... We're still in our sins.
Still be in our sins.
Because Jesus is still in the grave.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's something. All right. Let me see. There was another point. You laid aside your glory, were born a virgin's womb. See, that is laying aside his glory because he became incarnate.
Right.
I've been saying this for a few months here. One of the themes I have is... Christianity is the only faith, it's the only faith, where God becomes your substitute. Because no other God in any other religion becomes a human being for the sake of taking upon himself our sins. Only Christianity does that. So when you listen to talk radio a lot of times and talk television, they have no understanding of the unique difference of Christianity and every other religion. They all seem to be about helping your neighbor and doing this kind of thing, as though you could do the gospel. No, you can never do the gospel. You can only say the gospel. People aren't saved by deeds you do. They're saved by words you say.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that correct?
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
people aren't saved by deeds you do, but words that you say.
You see, some people say, well, when you do a good deed, you know, it opens up conversation. Well, that may be true, but a Mormon can do that, or a Jew can do that, right, or a Muslim can do that as well as a Christian. I mean, they feed the poor, take care of the homeless, etc. So we got to be really careful there that the life of sanctification, in my view, has nothing to do with evangelism. No. Except to open up, for example, when the tsunami hit, Lutherans helped people rebuild their houses, and they live under karma, which they think they deserved what happened, and they say, why are you Lutherans doing this? Then the Lutherans were able to speak to them. And I believe, like in Sierra Leone, 4 or 5 Lutheran churches are there now because of the tsunami that weren't there before. Yeah,
I've always heard what a difficult mission endeavor Sierra Leone is.
Oh, my. We had a Lutheran church there, and both the pastor and his wife was killed in a train accident,
right,
due to the tsunami.
Hit by the tsunami, right.
All right. Stanza 4.
You sit in splendid glory, enthroned at God's right hand, upholding earth and heaven by forces you command. We know that you will come as our judge that final day. So help your servants you have redeemed by blood, we pray. May we with saints be numbered, where praises never end. In glory everlasting, amen, O Lord, amen.
A lot of hymns don't end with amen anymore, unless they're in the text like this one. What does the word amen mean?
Yes, yes, it shall be so.
Yes, it's kind of a vow. And you sit in splendid glory enthroned at God's right hand. And so that doesn't mean physically at his right hand, but you know, when we talk about the right-hand man, that would usually be the ambassadors to various countries for the president, because when they speak, they're speaking what the president told them to do, and it's just as well as if the president were there. And then even in boxing, a left-hander, if you say he's going to leave with his right, that would mean he's going to leave with his left hand because it's the more powerful one. So that's just a way of looking at the right hand of God. So, and we know you'll come as our judge that final day, and immediately, so help your servants you have redeemed by blood, we pray. So immediately you go to the gospel. So I'm sure your sermon this Sunday is going to be about that. And what are your times?
Yes, Saturday evening, if you can't make Sunday service, Saturday evening at 5 p.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, and then Sunday morning at 9 a.m., followed by adult Bible class and Sunday school. We'd love to have you. We're located just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection out in Crestwood.
I thought it'd be kind of good maybe to hear another verse or two.
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. And you were listening to two more verses of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. And that was, as I said, written by Stephen P. Starkey. And in fact, my organist at St. Paul de Pere, Mr. Bender, is the one who did the orchestration on this. Plus, this was done at a Higher Things, a wonderful group gathering of the youth. I'm Tom Baker. Remember, tomorrow, why Lutherans often commit idolatry when answering theological questions. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.